Let's read together Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 35. In the second half of Luke chapter 14, the Lord shows clearly that there is a difference between becoming a believer and becoming a disciple. Let's begin by reading verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Let's consider a few background notes for this second half of Luke chapter 14. In the first half of Luke chapter 14, the Lord had been invited for a meal at the home of one of the Pharisee leaders on the Sabbath. Here the Lord healed a man and taught the Pharisees that healing on the Sabbath was not against the law. The Lord also continued to teach about the kingdom of God. As he did in chapter 13, the Lord likened being in the kingdom to enjoying the blessings of a feast or banquet. At this point, we read in verse 15 that one of those at the table said to the Lord, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, was this just a pious statement by one of the guests who assumed that he and the rest of the Pharisees would be part of the kingdom of God? Or was this statement a sarcastic remark to water down the teaching of Jesus? Yes, yes, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Or was this Pharisee sincere in his statement and realized that the Lord was teaching the truth? We don't know for sure. But in any case, the Lord answered him by giving the parable of the great banquet. And the point of the parable was the same as he taught in chapter 13. Yes, the blessings of the kingdom are wonderful, like a great banquet, but not everyone who is invited will be present. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Luke chapter 14. So doctrinal point number one: becoming a believer means accepting the invitation and not living a life of excuses. Becoming a believer means accepting the invitation and not living a life of excuses. This parable of the great banquet is pretty straightforward and easy to interpret. It is very similar to the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew chapter 22. The man in the parable who gives the great banquet is obviously God. The first stage of the invitation was to the Jewish people when the Lord came and announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. This offer of the kingdom was made to the nation of Israel. But the self-righteous Jewish leaders, including the Pharisees that the Lord was now addressing, refused to accept the invitation. However, in the parable, many of the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind were accepting the invitation. These represented those folks coming into the kingdom because they were accepting Jesus as the Messiah and King. These were the Mary Magdalenes and Zacchaeuses and the poor and all those accepting Christ as Messiah. But still there was room. And so in the parable, the invitation goes out to the highways and byways with compelling evidence and power. Clearly, this is a prediction by our Lord here that the invitation to enter and enjoy the blessings of God's kingdom would go out to the Gentiles with a great commission to preach the gospel worldwide. And again in verse 24, we have the truth of what the Lord taught in chapter 13. The self-righteous Jews who refused the invitation would be shut out of the kingdom forever. Verse 24, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." The excuses that were used in the parable for refusing the kingdom in Jesus' day are the same excuses that people use today for refusing and neglecting the invitation of the gospel. We see that there are three areas of excuses that people use throughout life. Number one, my material possessions, verse 18. I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. Number two, my job and line of work, verse 19. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. And number three, my family and relatives, verse 20. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. The invitation to the great banquet is still open, and folks are still refusing by using these same excuses. Illustration. I remember inviting a man to a Bible study some years ago, and I will never forget his excuse. Quote, "I'm interested as the devil, but I can't come because I'm very busy." End of quote. How true of many people in the rejection of the gospel. Becoming a believer means accepting the invitation and not living a life of excuses. Doctrinal point number two, becoming a disciple means counting the cost and living a life of sacrifice. Becoming a disciple means counting the cost and living a life of sacrifice. Verses 25 through 33. Luke chapter 14, beginning now at verse 25. "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. In these verses, we see a great difference between becoming a Christian and becoming a disciple. True salvation costs us nothing. True discipleship costs us everything. Becoming a Christian involves coming to the cross and trusting Christ. Becoming a disciple involves taking up the cross and following Christ. We see in verse 25 that the Lord was now addressing the whole multitude of followers who were following for various reasons. The prerequisite for being a true disciple is in verse 26. The Lord must be number one above all else, including your own family. Verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Obviously, the Lord is speaking in relative terms here because the fifth commandment says to love your father and mother. And the Lord himself said to love your neighbor as yourself. But in relative terms, our love for the Lord should be so strong that in comparison, it would seem that we hate others. Not bitter hatred in our hearts, but in comparison to our love for Christ. Now the Lord gave two illustrations of what it means to count the cost of being one of his committed disciples. The first illustration is building a tower. What good is it if you lay the foundation, but then run out of funds or material or desire and leave the tower unfinished? People will ridicule you. In the same way, count the cost of being a disciple. What about family? What about being away from home? What about greater persecutions? We should count the cost. The second illustration is of a king going out to battle. What an appropriate illustration. Discipleship involves spiritual warfare. Discipleship to Jesus Christ is not an invitation to a Sunday school picnic. It is an invitation to spiritual warfare. Many Christians have started out well, but have not fully counted the cost, and have even compromised with the enemy. Verse 32. Verse 33 is probably the hardest verse in the Bible for American Christians. Verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Most of us want to insert the words willing to in this verse. That is, willing to forsake all that he has. Now that may be the thought, since we are exhorted in chapter 16, as we'll see, to use our money and material things for the Lord as good stewards. But still the Lord did not insert here the words willing to in verse 33. Maybe because he knew that we would use it as a cop-out to further justify hoarding and not living a life of sacrifice. It's very easy to say, I'm willing to give up everything for the Lord. It's hard to do it. Becoming a disciple means counting the cost and living a life of sacrifice. Now, what about practical application from this portion of Luke chapter 14? Don't be thrown out as a disciple. Don't be thrown out as a disciple. Verses 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill or rubbish heap, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. These verses are in the context of discipleship, not salvation. You are never thrown out of God's family if you are a true believer. But if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and then lose your testimony because of compromise and failure, the world writes you off and throws you out. The illustration is given of first century salt, which came mixed with impurities, and therefore it could lose its preserving power. Then it was good for nothing. It was thrown out. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, that his disciples were the salt of the earth. But compromising and failing disciples lose their power to limit the spread of spiritual decline and moral decay all around them. And the world writes them off. Don't be thrown out as a disciple.